Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 416, the stanzas 1 and 3. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee, and what follows. Psalter 416, the stanzas 1 and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 63. First, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 63. Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou wast being my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then thou wast granted for the third time on this holy day of rest, that the doors of thy house have been opened, and that thou granteth opportunity, least a portion of the congregation to gather, and the other portion in their dwellings. Then thou wast granted many a blessing in this day. May we receive an impression thereof. May we be humbled thereunder, how good thou art. For a sinful people with sinful hearts, with unclean lips, then in this day by renewal, then we come unto thee with all our blessings, with our needs, with our desires, with our burdens, and with our sins. Lord, may we be given to feel them aright. And that is only possible by the immediate working of thy Holy Spirit. And then the bride of old has prayed, come thou north wind, and blow thou south wind upon my garden, that the spices may flow forth. Lord, then we need to become thy garden, and that is only by free and sovereign grace. And now in this evening hour, then it is a service of preparation where the King of the Church has given unto his church the royal command, do this in remembrance of me till I come. Then thou knowest the circumstances has been more than a year ago since the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ has been administered in the midst of the congregation. And now we humbly ask thee, under these special circumstances, may many prayers be sent to the King, that the King may prosper our ways, and that on the coming Sabbath day, that the King may be in our midst. Then in this afternoon we have heard that an Abram has called Mount Moriah Jehovah Jireh, where the Lord provideth. O wonder-doing God, wilt thou remember us as a people? And then we are called, each and every one of us, to examine our hearts. Ah, Lord, then perhaps there are those amongst us that do not even think that they have to examine themselves because they know so certain that they are unconverted. Then we humbly ask thee that thou may impress that truth upon their hearts, and that in a week of preparation, by the enlightening work of thy Holy Spirit, that they may truly become unconverted and learn without God, without Christ, and without hope in the world, traveling to an everlasting destruction on that broad way, ah, Lord. Work then mightily, lovingly, and irresistibly in the hearts of the unconverted. And remember also our children, our young people, have not a church right, but may they be exercised with this holy matter. Oh, to belong to the blessed people of God, to be placed under the banner of that great and royal King. Lord, thou knowest who are thine. Wilt thou remember seeking souls? Then we have heard from the psalmist, and we have sung it together. As the hart panteth for the water brooks, as so my soul panteth after thee, O, after the living God in a land that is thirsty and where no water is. O Lord, when thou beginneth that good work, then we learn who thou art, who we are, traveling through the wilderness, and then we become hungry and thirsty. Then our heart goes out after the living God. And now the king has said, do this in remembrance of me. Oh, then the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that declares that there is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, that there is no other foundation and no other rock. Wilt thou use that instruction for seeking souls, that all their false rest outside of that foundation, spare them, that they despise not a day of small things, but that they need him who has paid the price. Oh, may thou grant it in a week of examination, those further leadings, oh, with those thirstings and that need for the pearl of great price, where the bride of old has declared to the daughters of Jerusalem that he was white and ruddy and the chiefest among 10,000s. O Lord, wilt thou then remember thy Zion? Ah, may it please thee to grant those thirstings and longings after thee, the living God, and that in this evening hour that thou may feed them with that spiritual hunger and thirst. Oh, to receive that spiritual appetite with those desires and with those prayers. Oh, may it then take place as we read of those travelers to Emmaus. They were so sad, downcast, oh Lord. Thou knowest that in the life of thy children, there can be those riddles and those questions, those mysterious ways, and that they are so attacked, that they know it no more. But may they then be given to cry unto thee. Oh, may they be a mourning dove and a chattering swallow, a people that cannot miss thee. And with those travelers to Emmaus, when the scriptures were opened, then their hearts began to burn. Oh, with a lively desire, when thou wast disappeared out of their midst, to return to thy church and to declare that the Lord is risen indeed, O Lord. Wilt thou grant those exercises unto thy true people, oh, to receive those tokens of thy divine favor, and with a prayer that they may do it in remembrance of thee, and for the strengthening of their faith, and that their lives may be more holy. Oh, with a prayer that on the coming Lord's Day, that thou may bless us with thy special presence, with thy special favor, under special circumstances, that our eyes may be upon thee. Oh, that it truly may be a Jehovah Jireh, that it may be a Bethel, the house of God. Oh, that shall be when thou feedest thy people with that heavenly manna and that by an eye of faith, that they may be given to look upon him, who has loved them to the end, who was willing to suffer and die, wonder-doing God. Wilt thou then be in our midst in this evening hour? May we be given examine our hearts and lay it beside thy holy word, because thou hast a people upon the earth that may hear their life declared in thy holy word, and that they may be given to declare, if they deceive not their souls, what they have received of thee, but also what they miss and what they need, and that the arrow lies further, Lord, grant unto thy children those holy exercises, a special place at thy footstool, and looking unto the King, wilt thou then remember us in a special way with thy favor in these solemn times, and that we may experience that the King has everything in his hand. Lord, bless the manifold means of grace amongst us in the church, on the Sabbath day, during the week. Remember the catechism classes, the confession of faith class. Bless the labors in the family circles, and bless the labors in our Christian school. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. Provide for our daily bread. May we humbly ask of thee for moisture, for the thirsty earth in the season that lies before us. Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones, our elderly ones, when thou spares, then in this week, our oldest member, an old father, hopes to commemorate, may still be with his dear wife, that thou was added in other year unto his years, then thou was wonderfully lengthened his life, where every week he is called different times to go to the hospital for dialysis. Hitherto it has been blessed, but Lord, an extension that is only for a time. Impress that upon his heart, and that in his old age, that he may be given to seek and to find thee, where the time is short. Remembers dear wife, wilt thou remember all the elderly ones? We remember the sick and afflicted ones, all under the physician's care, with different fears, with different cares. Remember the sick relatives, we commend them all unto thee. Remember the crosses and the burdens. Be mindful of prodigal sons and daughters, and Lord, wilt thou keep us all under the truth, and impress upon all our hearts, not only to be under the truth, but in the way of experience, to experience that truth, and that the truth may set us free. Remember the family circles. May love abound. Lord, remember land and country in these serious times. There are many fears. There are so many also in our nation who have not been taught as little boys and girls to bow their knees and to come unto thee, and that thou reigneth over everything, all many in the world. They have no place to go, and to that end they go to man and try to figure out means to be relieved from their distress. Oh Lord, remember our federal government busy passing laws so contrary to thy word. May it please thee to open their eyes that they may be given to see. Remember also this province, oh Lord. May thou yet grant that there may be an acknowledgement also with sickness, that thou reigneth over everything, and that the means they must be blessed by thee. Remember then all the sick and afflicted. Remember all those that work in the medical field. And now, Lord, in this evening hour, wilt thou grant a good hour together. Oh, may our eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou anoint with fresh oil from above. May we be given to declare the wonderful works of the Lord, and to be given to extol the King in his necessity, in his preciousness, and in his beauty, that there may be a rousing to a holy jealousy. Lord, remember all the hearers, those in the sanctuary, in the basement, and in their dwelling place, a word that thirst for thee, all by nature. And then we thirst for many things, but not for thee. And to that end, where that thirst for the living God is missing, wilt thou work it in this evening hour. And where thou hast begun, wilt thou grant a little instruction, encouragement, comfort, correction when it is necessary. Be then a surprising God. And, oh Lord, we have nothing to plead upon. It is so necessary that it is experienced each time by renewal, and that we may come unto thee with our empty and with our filthy hands, and yet hands that need to be filled. Lord, glorify then thy name. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 164, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be. And what follows, Psalter 164, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 63, the verses 1, 2, and 3, where God's word and our text reads thus: O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Our text words speak of the true marks of the exercised communicant. Four thoughts in the first place, the believing communicant. In the second place, the longing communicant. In the third place, the instructed communicant. And in the fourth place, the praising communicant. The true marks of the exercised communicant. The believing communicant, the longing communicant, the instructed communicant, and the praising communicant. Beloved congregation, the Lord willing, according to the command of the King, where Christ has instructed his church, do this in remembrance of me. To that end, then we hope the coming Lord's Day to administer the sacrament of the Holy Supper has been more than a year ago. Since the sacrament has been administered in our midst. And to that end, may it please the King that he may remember us, that he may provide, and that he may grant a blessing in the midst of the congregation. Because the sacraments, the true mark of the church, the three marks, they are the preaching of the word, the administration of the sacraments, and Christian discipline. And even in this morning, when there was one present from the Alberta Health Board, then she is asked, whether we have had communion. And when it was answered in the negative, then she has indicated that it was a part of the church service. May our eyes be upon the Lord. And now in this evening, then we are called upon, each and every one of us, thus that also means you children, then we are called upon to examine our hearts, whether we have what is necessary to attend the Holy Supper of the Lord. Of course, I read in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, let all things be done decently, and in order, Nevertheless, when we read our Heidelberg Catechism, then what is necessary to live and die happily, those are the same matters that are necessary to attend the Holy Supper of the Lord. Because we read in question 2, how many things are necessary for thee to know that thou enjoying this comfort mayest live and die happily? Answer 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how we shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. And that answer, that is very similar to what we read in Lord's Day number 30, question 81. For whom is the Lord's Supper instituted? Answer, for those who were truly sorrowful for their sins, and yet trust that these are forgiven them for the sake of Christ, and that their remaining infirmities are covered by his passion and death, and who also earnestly desire to have their faith more and more strengthened and their lives more holy. Thus then we hear at congregation that it is the same matters that are declared in Lord's Day number 1 concerning that only comfort and what is necessary to attend the Holy Supper of the Lord. And now in our text words, then we have the same three matters declared, because then we read of a longing soul. We read of a soul that has been in the sanctuary, and we read of a soul with a desire to praise the Lord. Then in the subscription, a Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, we read specifically of the wilderness of Judah in 1 Samuel 22 and 1 Samuel 23, when he was persecuted by King Saul. In the 11th verse of this psalm, then we read of the king rejoicing to that end, then it is possible under the persecution of Absalom. But then we do not read specifically that he was in the wilderness of Judah, but that he has crossed the Jordan River. And to that end, then in verse 11, because when faith is an exercise, then the church may embrace what has been promised unto them concerning future matters. And now we read that David, oh, the sweet psalmist of Israel, that he was in a thirsty land. And in our marginal notes of the King James Version, then that word is explained that it could also mean weary. Are there souls that have experienced what it is to be in the wilderness and to be in a weary land? It is true, through our deep fall in Adam, then this world has become a weary and a thirsty land, and not to despise the many blessings that the Lord has left in the midst of us and our children. But congregation, let us always remember that without the Lord, then it shall remain a thirsty and a weary land, because a round world can never completely fill a triangular heart. And now for a David, then it is evident that is clear that concerning that wilderness, that he was far from the courts of the Lord. Oh, he was given to think and to meditate upon former days when he could go up to those courts and behold the beauty of the Lord. To that end, may there be souls amongst us that have that holy longing, where the past year, that only part of the congregation has been present, and to that end, the consistory thought it fit, that with the celebration of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the signs and the seals of the sacraments, that the whole congregation may be present. Oh, when we consider when David has declared that he was in the wilderness, even in the desert, that is a place where the sun burns so sharply, and where the traveler that he is seeking for shade. The Lord has a people upon the earth by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit that learn of the justice of God, of that burning wrath because of their sins. Oh, in the wilderness there are thistles and thorns. Oh, upon the pathway of the pilgrim, then there are many difficulties. We have said that word thirsty, that can also mean weary. Oh, then for the true pilgrim, then it can be that the way becomes too great. As we read in the life of the prophet Elijah, that he is sat down, that he is laid under that juniper tree, so disappointed and so discouraged. Then those weary travelers, they need refreshments. Oh, in the wilderness, in the desert, there are the wild beasts. Think of Matthew 4, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Then there are those warm winds of temptation that feed upon the lust of the flesh. And now under those circumstances, oh, then we read in this solemn that it begins, O God, thou art my God. Thus, it begins with an O. That is an O of need. That is an O of faith. That is an O of desire. That is an O of urgency. We read so often of those O's in the Bible and congregation, those true O's. They are the work of the Holy Spirit. They have been merited by Christ, because by nature, then there is much thirsting and many oaths concerning our temporal life. But now in this solemn, oh, then the psalmist David is given to lay his heart open. And then it is necessary that in an hour of preparation that we lay our heart beside God's word, because the life of the true people of God, they are declared and explained in the scriptures. And now concerning those oaths, oh, there are times that the church is given to beg for another oath, that it may become lively, that those desires may be stirred up. Oh, young and old, has there now come up a few souls with those oaths of urgency, an oath of desire, but also an oath for instruction, an oath for encouragement, and an oath for comfort? And now we read in our solemn that the sweet psalmist of Israel, then he has said, O God, the first God and the second God in the original, that is two different words closely connected. The first one is Elohim, that is God in its plural, that points to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the second God, that is in the singular, that refers more to the power of God. And now with David in the wilderness, persecuted and tried, oh, many a difficulty and many impossibility. But then a David, O God, thou art my God. Thus that is a further examination. We all pray, congregation, to God. But may we now say with the psalmist, O God, thou art my God. And is that our concern? Has that ever now become our great need? That mighty, that majestic, that holy, that glorious, that good-doing God that is so pure and so holy, that God may become my God. Have we learned, a congregation, that by nature we are without God, without hope of Christ in the world, as we read in Ephesians 2, verse 12. Has that now become our longing, our desire? How is that now, congregation? We are traveling to eternity, and we need a God that we may serve, a surety for our guilt, and a Savior for our soul. O God, thou art my God. It is true, he is our God because he has created us. He is our God because he has placed this thrice holy name upon our forehead. But now he needs to become my God by the way of grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Thus, that is the first examination, whether we have learned those oaths. I'll learn to cry unto the Lord as a poor sinner, given to earnestly beg, to tell the Lord that we can miss everything in this world, but that, Lord, I cannot miss thee. That is on account of that love shed abroad in the heart. Congregation, we know what our heart longs for and what it thirsts after. The Lord has a people. Oh, it is true. They must be ashamed. Those oaths can be so feeble. There can be so much formality. But they know those times when those oaths have become true, when the need has become unbearable, when they could not leave the Lord on his place, oh God. But now with my God, and that can be in different ways, let me then ask you, I shall begin where the Lord begins. Because when the Lord begins congregation, then it becomes my God by desire and choice. Think of that blessed Ruth. Oh, it is true, the Lord has already begun in Moab. Oh, thus that my God, that becomes evident in our life and in our walk, that we choose the word of God for our rule. But oh, for a Ruth, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Thus by choice, in the second place, by hope and longing, because when the Lord works, then he grants faith, hope, and love, and all that people know not how, but they have experienced what we have heard out of Exodus 34, verse 6. Ah, that the Lord is merciful, and that he is abundant in goodness, that he is long-suffering, that he is great in power. Ah, then that church receives a hope. Ah, they know not how to be saved, but they may experience the loving kindness of the Lord in their lives. But now, oh, for a David. Oh, he was a blessed child of God. I read in Psalm 22 that he has learned to trust upon his mother's breast. Oh, blessed people that may be drawn early. But now, what the psalmist is given to declare, that is not a strange language to the true people of God, young and old. How is it now? Have we ever made that good choice? Have we received that desire and that longing? But now also in the furtherance way, oh, in the way of assurance, oh, think of Job when he is sat on the pile of ashes. In Job 19, the verses 25 through 27, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Ah, oh, Thomas, that was so easily discouraged. Oh, he was a disciple. He was instructed in the prophetical office of Christ. But oh, when the Lord has appeared, and when he has shown those pierced hands, oh, with that assurance, my Lord and my God, that is what we read in our text. Paul, he was given to write to his spiritual son Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, I know in whom I have believed. Thus, a believing, a communicant, that is the first point of examination, young and old. Have we been given to say, my God, choice, desire and longing, ought to receive that only comfort in life and death, but so necessary, because the Lord's Supper, that is a sacrament of the strengthening of faith, and that points the child of God, let us remember that, that points to the only foundation and the only ground of salvation, namely Christ Jesus and him crucified. Thus, for the people of God, it is examination, instruction, but also a special pointing to our old fathers. They have stayed at different times and different places, of course. From the Lord's side, it lies so sure. But from the side of mankind, then before, when they are not brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, then they have warned that it can still fall out wrong. I repeat it. All from the Lord's side, it lieth so firm. Our second thought, the longing communicant. And now for a further examination concerning that first point, the believing communicant, that may be given to say, O God, thou art my God. Then David is given to open up his heart and to explain and declare the exercises of true saving faith. And when the Lord works, that is now the desire of such a soul, that it is clearly laid out because they are so afraid of deceit and the true work. They are not so afraid to examine themselves. Oh, how busy they can be, and how often the seeking soul is given to say, Ach, Lord, if it is still wrong, if I have begun with thee, and thou hast not begun with me, if it is now only upbringing, and maybe when I am easy touched with my emotions and my feelings, and maybe solemn things have taken place in my life, ah, Lord, if it is not thy true work, well, thou then please begin today, because, Lord, oh, I cannot miss thee. Are there such souls in my midst that can miss much? We need our daily necessities. And to that end, then you must listen closely to the marks of the believing communicant, the marks of true, a saving faith. And then we read, early will I seek thee. Early can be literally in the morning. We have heard from an Abram that there were different times that he has risen very early because of the Lord, after he was given to plead for Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he has risen early when he has sent Ishmael away. Risen early, we have heard from Genesis 22, when he received that command, that he arose early, and that he has begun that journey to Mount Moriah early. Well, I seek thee. When the Lord begins congregation, then such a soul does not think, oh, I need the Lord, but I am too busy. I have no time. And when I become a little older, because when the Lord works, then we do not become so old congregation, then we think much of death. Oh, then such a soul, then they are given to seek the Lord early. Then when there's opportunity, the last year it has been different, but we could still listen along, then it shall not be that we can skip a church service. No, then early will I be given to seek thee. Oh, when we think of early, that is also instruction for our youth. The psalmist, this is early will I seek thee. May that be granted, young people. What a privilege and what a blessing when by the grace of God that the Lord draws us early. Ah, that can keep us from much sin and much trouble. And all for those living souls, they are given to taste the blessedness of the service of the Lord. And therefore, early will I seek thee. And now what do we seek, congregation? Things that we miss and things that we desire. we are all seekers. Our children, our young people, our middle-aged, when we become older, then that seeking becomes less. But now David, then he is given to write in the psalm by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Then he is not given to write early, "Well, I seek thy gifts." Oh, they are precious. All for the church, congregation, when we may receive those gifts. There is nothing in the world that compares to it. Oh, when they may be given to see and believe that those gifts come from the Lord, then how glad and how humble they are. Then they are given to rejoice. But now what David stresses in the first three verses of this psalm, then we read five times the word "thee." Thus that is now a mark of grace. "Early will I seek thee." Thus that declares a soul that is missing something. That declares, because what do we seek? As something that is valuable and something that is precious and something that we have lost. Oh, then a David, then in this psalm, then he may be given to open his heart and declare the exercises of that believing communicant, because congregation, if our second point, and oh, it is true, alas, people of God, how has it now been? More than a year, let us add, the church must also learn that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is not a savior. We live in a time that you meet souls, who you may believe are true seekers, and that think, if I may now attend the Lord's Supper, then everything is solved. But signs and seals at that point to that blessed Lord Jesus Christ. "Early will I seek thee." And then further, that seeking that is described, oh, young and old, the experiences of God's people. They are so beautifully and clearly laid out in the Word of God. Maybe then a soul says, "But I have so many doubts, and I have so many riddles, and my way seems to be strange." Oh, I hope there are such. But how is it now with those riddles and that strange way? Ah, be then honest. Are there now never times when you may come to God's house or open God's word that you may find your life declared? Ah, that your hope may be enlivened, and that you may be given to say, oh, perhaps in secret, "Thou art my God. Ah, Lord, I shall continue early to seek thee." But now those further exercises, then we read, "My soul and further my flesh." Thus it speaks of soul and flesh. Thus with their whole heart is not the command to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. "And now my soul thirsteth for thee in the wilderness, in a weary land." They tell us it is a terrible thing to be hungry. Boys and girls, we do not know what it is to be hungry. There's a blessing when we are hungry, when you come to the table. But what I mean, we do not know of what it is to be days without food, to have those hunger pains. But we can live with for a certain time without food, but without water. That is so unbearable. And now the psalmist, to clearly declare his life and his experience, then he is given to compare it to one thirsting in a great weary desert. My soul thirsteth for thee. People of God, how is it now with that thirst? Are there truly thirsty souls? That's what our text goes about. Or are there souls that have to confess, Lord, I am in the desert. It has been dry and not so profitable. And I have to confess that thirst does not press me down, and that it seems that I can continue on my way without that lively thirst. What is the reason, soul? Is that the Lord's fault? Is the Lord a land of outer darkness? Then we do well to examine our hearts. The reason can be many reasons. An idol, an unrepented of sin, a slothfulness concerning the means of grace, and a walking with the world. But, David, the Lord many times uses hard ways to make that people thirst by renewal. When there are those, and in that respect, God's people have much to confess, especially in our day concerning that thirst. But when we may hear of the psalmist in this evening, may our hearts begin to burn. And now who are now thirsty ones? Those are ones that travel through the desert with that burning sun. That they feel it. They cannot reason that thirst away, congregation. When you have a thirsty soul in a dry desert, they cannot reason that thirst away. When they are given to think of those living waters. We have sung together from Psalm 42, as the heart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul, O God, for thee, the living God. We read of that living God in Psalm 42, verse 2, and also in Psalm 84, verse 2, with the longings for the courts of the Lord. The true church, they experience that only a living God, he worketh the need, and he satisfieth the soul of those living souls. Thus, who are the thirsty ones? Those weary travelers, those pilgrims, they are also thirsty. Those that are sick, you meet sick people, maybe no appetite, dying people, but still a desire, still a thirst for some water. Also, when you have the wounded ones, we have a wounded soldier, then many times their thirst is great. They desire water. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. Do you hear, congregation? already three times in the first verse. What does our heart and our soul long and thirst after? Not wrong concerning the earthly things. Lord has also given the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. But has the Lord uncovered us? Has God become real? Has our sin become real? Have we experienced that godly sorrow? Have we learned to weep over our sins? Oh, may the Lord, by his blessed work of the Spirit, grant more of those tears in the beginning, but also in the further leadings. But now a David is given to lay his heart open. The exercises, I seek early thee, thirst for thee, long for thee in a thirsty land where no water is. Let us first sing. Psalter 227, let us only sing the first stanza. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are, for thou my heart is yearning in banishment afar. And what follows? Only the first stanza of 227. The true marks of the exercised communicant, the believing communicant, the longing communicant, and now thirdly, the instructed communicant. And now our third point, that concerns that word thee. When there are souls in this evening that may say, concerning that first verse, that it is not all a strange language, and when the Lord works, it shall not be a strange language, because then that people, they find their life declared in the Beatitudes, and many other places of Scripture, But now we have a question. When we speak of thee, and when there are souls where it is not all a strange language, then I must ask you in this evening hour that you may tell me who that thee is. Who is that thee? When the Lord begins, then we have to do with God. All his attributes, then God becomes real. And then we make that good choice, and then our heart yearns for the Lord, for his communion. Then we love his word, his day, his institution, all his people, everything that belongs to the Lord. But now Christ has said to those disciples in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And Christ has said, with the institution of the Holy Supper, do this in remembrance of me. And to do it in remembrance of him, then Christ has to be revealed. And when that takes place, then the exercises and the outgoings in our life, they shall become different. And to that end, our second point, because when we have heard of our first two points, O God, thou art my God, but such a people, they learn that their great and manifold sins that causes a separation, they learn to know and to love the justice of God. And how can that people? And that is our second thought, because the psalmist has a desire by renewal to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And that mystery, how that church may become a subject of that living God, as we read in Lord's Day number 1, that is declared in the sanctuary, because in the tabernacle, some weeks ago, we have spoken out of Exodus 27, the first 8 verses. You can remember, children. Then we have spoken of that white court with a door and with that brazen altar of burnt offerings, that fire that pointed to the justice of God, and that altar needed a sacrifice. And now with David in this solemn, when he is given to refer to the sanctuary, then he is given to speak of special and precious things. Oh, when the pilgrim in the days of old, when he has come closer to the sanctuary, and even more so, that beautiful temple, do we not read in Psalm 130 that the psalmist has declared, of when he has approached to the sanctuary and to the God that dwelleth in the sanctuary, O Lord, if thou wouldst mark transgression, who then could stand? But then in the sanctuary, then it was declared, but with thee there is forgiveness that thou mayest be feared. Oh, in the sanctuary, then everything pointed to the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time. Oh, in the sanctuary, and in the New Testament, when Christ is come to do the work which his Father has laid upon his shoulders as the servant of the Father. O God, thou art my God, and that is only through him. It all pointed to him in the sanctuary. Oh, on the fourth crossword, there Christ, he is hung between the heavens and the earth. And he has cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That mystery that is declared in the sanctuary concerning my soul athirsteth for thee. How is it possible that a holy, a just God, that he satisfies that thirst, with the fountain of living waters, with the fountain of blood, the sanctuary, it pointed to him who in the fifth crossword has cried out, my thirst was a natural thirst, was a spiritual thirst. Thus, the instructed communicant, different times the word thee, and then it points the necessity to be brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, because Christ has said, do this in remembrance of me in congregation, when the word of God may be opened, when he may be revealed. No, it is not written in God's word that a soul needs the full assurance to attend the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It's given for the strengthening of feeble, of weak faith. It is a means of grace. Nevertheless, to do this in remembrance of me, and when we may be brought to the sanctuary, and when that mystery may be opened up, then he becomes congregation, so necessary and so suitable and so precious. Oh, then he becomes white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. And then our exercises and our outgoings. And also when we come up to God's house, then we shall sit in God's house and we shall listen different before, the one about thee, about the Lord. But when the gospel may be opened, when that precious Savior may be revealed, then we have such a longing, then we have a desire that he may be extolled, that he may be displayed, that it may be told the preciousness of that mediator, that he can save to the uttermost. Then those souls, there are times that they may be given to see so sufficient that he can also save me and offer such a people for whom he has become so necessary and so precious. Their faith is attacked, but now the king in his love, then he has instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. O people of God, may the hearts begin to burn, and may the prayers be multiplied. May it be in a week of preparation, that there may be those thirsty and longing souls. Our forethought we shall close, the praising communicant this congregation. Then we have in our text words, the 3 points that are necessary to profitably attend the Lord's Supper. May the Lord grant us light, work of the Holy Spirit, exercises, much work in the inner chamber. May we be given to remember each other at the throne of grace and under these special and solemn circumstances, that the King may be in our midst, that on the coming Sabbath day it may truly be a Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see and the Lord will provide. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then in this evening hour, then we have heard that soul's exercises of David, the sweet psalmist, and the man after God's heart. And now in this evening hour, then we are all called to lay our heart and our lives beside what we have heard. Ach, Lord, a word is all missing. Oh, in a week of preparation, wilt thou use it, that a people may be placed in their missing and in their guilt. And Lord, where thou hast begun, wilt thou grant us further leadings. Lord, remember thy people. May we be given to remember one another at the throne of grace, because in a week of preparation, then Satan many times he goes about seeking to trouble the true church. But, Lord, thou hast gained the victory. He is a defeated enemy. Then thou hast crowned the day with thy goodness. May we also be given to experience thy kind care and protection in the night that lays before us. Wilt thou grant health and strength for the labors which thou hast laid upon our shoulders. Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger, keep us from sin and temptation. Remember tomorrow evening the catechism classes, the confession of faith class, and bring us also together for a midweek service, for a further preparation. Lord, watch over us in this night and forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 374, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. I know that the Lord is almighty, supreme in dominion is he, performing his will and good pleasure in heaven and in earth and the sea. And what follows? 374, 3, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.